It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I love life. I love living life. Don't always like the obstacles and problems that God allows to come into our life. But one day I will be glad to be in heaven and to put all these things of earth behind me. I love people. I love relationships that God has placed in my life. But one day I will be glad, by the grace of God, to stand before the Lord and put this life behind me. I want to just read, and just bear with me this morning. I want to read, starting this morning, with the first two verses of 1 Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, forgive me, 1 Timothy, we're going to get there in 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to notice how this letter starts after the greeting. I want you to notice, if you would get a letter in the mail, and immediately, on the very, well, we don't write letters and verses, but you get what I'm saying. In the third verse, immediately it's a negative. There's a lot of people, and I'm going to try to really watch my time this morning, because let me say this. Last time I preached, that went over. And everybody got out of here pretty quick, and they caught Brother Rob in the parking lot. And I was like, oh, everybody must have been in a hurry to get out. Well, I was way off on my time, and that's, I don't apologize for it, but I will try to be within the things and the time frame. But he says in verse 3, as I besought thee, Paul says to Timothy, to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. Many people do not like the Lord's church because they say it's negative. And it has a negative message. They don't like it. But I'm going to read this verse to start off, to kind of get the setting for the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. I'll stand up here before you today, and I confess to you, as I would confess to anybody, I do not know it all. I do not know it all, and I'm not one that likes to debate. I'm not one that likes to go around and say, I believe this, and I believe this, and I believe this, and I believe this. But I've said this often, and I'll say it this morning, I do not apologize for what the Word of God says. And if you back me into a corner, or you ask me what I believe, by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you about the Bible. If I get into a conversation about spiritual things concerning Jesus Christ, God, or the church, or anything, I'm going to base what I believe off of God's Word. And I'm not just going to base it off what I believe of God's Word, but I'm going to furthermore base that off of what I believe in God's Word in its context. People say it's a negative message. Well, you know what? We're sinners. That's a negative thing. I'm saved this morning, but I'm still just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I don't just sing Amazing Grace out of habit by the grace of God when I'm singing as I ought. I truly understand who I am to some degree, and that I'm only saved by the grace of God. When I see those that are maybe steeped in sin, if you will, I realize I'm no better than them. God just happened to save my soul. Jesus gave His life. I heard and I believed and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Go to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. My subject, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you this morning. I wanted to preach in 2 Timothy 4:7 on finishing well. I desire by the grace of God to finish well in my life. And I desire to be a blessing to other people that may encourage them. Not that I be a stumbling block or a discouragement to them, but that they may know the Lord and they may finish well. I desire to do that all the while knowing and understanding that without the Lord I will fail and I will fail miserably. I've seen too many people in my lifetime that were very faithful to the Lord at one time. And now they are no more. I'm talking about some preachers that preached things and stood on things, and now they are no more. So I never try to be arrogant. I always try to remember Peter. Peter says, Lord, I'll stand with you. Though all men forsake you, Lord, I'll stand with you. And what happened? Peter didn't stand. And I try to realize that. Notice verse 1 of chapter 4. The message this morning is simply this, and it's a message upon my heart. Hear and receive. Hear and receive. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Again, Paul tells this to Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Oh, there's that preacher again, preaching that negative message. Some shall depart from the faith. That's what the Bible says. And if we don't like the message, don't blame the preacher. You have a problem with God. You have a problem with His Word. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus and Christ Jesus our Lord. Go to chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, we look at that verse and people could quote that verse and they could say, I just need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that is true. Whatever the situation, and we're going to face situations sometimes we never seen coming that will take us totally off guard. Sometimes it's spiritual things, sometimes it's not. But we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But as I read this verse, I want us to understand the context. Why is Paul telling Timothy to be strong that is in the grace in Christ Jesus? Because if you really understand 1 and 2 Timothy, a lot of it is the negatives that Timothy is going to face. What negatives is Timothy going to face? Well, people's going to leave churches. People's not going to want to hear the truth. Much of my thoughts and much of my preaching is because of who I am. Not that I'm perfect, but things I've experienced in my life. I preached many churches, many small churches. I don't get up here and boast because you obviously know it would do no good. Many, many small congregations. And some of the many small ones, some people are the most attentive, the most faithful. It's not always the case. But I've seen, and probably been guilty of myself at times, of not hearing and receiving the word of the Lord. And the message this morning is to hear and receive the word of the Lord. And he says to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Read the books. Why does he need to be strong? Because he's going to face many negative people in the ministry. And even us as Christians, we're going to face people that oppose us. We're going to face people that set out, sometimes it's known throughout after us, sometimes it's not known. But be sure of this, God knows. And as I preached last time, we're not home yet. You say, I got the biggest house on the hill. I got the best life that there is out there to have. We're not home yet. We got to answer to God. We got to stand before God. Notice verse 3. Forgive me. Chapter 3, verse 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. The lost world knows this. And they think of negative things that you see out in the world. Well, this chapter isn't dealing, I don't think, with negative things that you see out in the world. This chapter is dealing with God's so-called people. Because it talks about them becoming unthankful. What's the other one? Unholy. I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God this morning, the older that I get, when I want to be unholy, I'm wrong. Number one, I never believe I'm holier than thou. But number two, I'm thankful God saved my soul. I'm thankful that God looks upon me as holy because of what His Son did for me. I don't want to be unholy. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be like God wants me to be. And there's times, no doubt, I'm not what I ought to be. But He says in verse 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Okay, so go back to verse 2. Timothy, be strong. You're going to face some negative things in the ministry. You have to do what God has called you to do. I remember my dad in the old sanctuary telling me one time, might have been the first time I preached, I can't recall, but he said, get up and preach. Like everybody loves what you're saying. If they're yawning, act like they love what you're saying. If they're sleeping, if they're acting like they're sleeping, if they're giving you dirty looks, if after the sermon they say to you, your voice is off, preach like they love what you're saying. And you have to do that by the grace of God. The easy thing for somebody just filling in, you get to pop up and go about your life. Think about a pastor. And the difficulty that it is to preach things that are hard. This message isn't about a pastor this morning, although we're going to get to the text. Now go to, we're going to look at the first four verses of 1 Timothy 4. And this is the message this morning. So all the negatives, he's pretty much letting him know. He lets Timothy know by his testimony, or he will let him know in chapter 4 by his testimony, that there was many difficulties. There was people that turned their back on me. But God stood with me. Regardless of who it is this morning, whether it's me or you that are saved, or maybe one day you will be saved, we pray that you will. It'd be better to have God on your side than everybody in this church. It would be better to have God on your side than everybody that you work with. The Lord brought me to a place in my life one time where there wasn't anybody that could help me. Has God ever brought you to that place? People think, well, if I can just get all these people in my corner, everything's going to be fine. I'd rather have God than no one. Personally, I'd rather have God and everybody I can have. I don't want to be ornery or difficult. But he says, Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his coming. And I am going to harp on this, and it's harped on all the time here, but I'm going to do it again. But this isn't the message. He says, preach the word. We want a pastor. We want a pastor that does what we want him to do. That is not what God has called a pastor to do. God has called a pastor, his first and foremost priority is to be faithful to God and to preach his word. And I looked at this next thing. Be instant, in season, and out of season. And I had to take a different look at this. I always seen this as always be consistent in what you preach when they want to hear it and when they don't. And there's some truth to that. But before that, when it says be instant, what does that mean? That means be ready. A pastor needs to always be ready to preach God's word. Now let's step aside from the pastor for a minute. What about you and I? Are we always ready? The Lord has brought someone into my life at work. He's actually my partner. There's only the two of us. We disagree, I think, on some things. But I'm going to tell you something. He's been a tremendous blessing to me in the things of the Lord. And he's challenged me in the things of the Lord. And his testimony, and I've told him this, his testimony is this. He truly has a desire, since I've known him probably 8 years, has a desire to see the lost saved. Not just talking about it, but a desire to see people get to church. A desire to teach them or preach to them Jesus. An open Bible consistently at his station. And yet we can have conversations, and we do have conversations. And it's not to exalt one another. It's not to debate, but just to lift one another up. You say, Scott, why do you say all that? Be ready. I've learned. Be ready to share your faith every day. I had a guy helping me a few weeks ago when I had to go all the way to Hudson for Fayette and get some things. And I probably missed an opportunity that I should have taken to witness to him, but I still strive just to live a life that I need to live. It's scary. You can talk about it in church, but when we're faced with it, do we share? Be instant. Be ready. And then he tells the pastor, he tells Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice verse 3. For the time will come when, and I want you to notice this word twice this morning. For the time will come when they. I've circled that word in my Bible. I want you to look at that real close. Who is the they? The they are church members. I don't believe that there's going to be any just coasting into heaven. Things are going to get more and more and more and more difficult. Let me rephrase so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Everyone that's saved by the grace of God is going to get to heaven. What I mean by not coasting into heaven, the Bible tells us that we must earnestly contend for the faith. That's more than coming to church 3 times a week. You say, I'm a good Christian, I'm a good church member, because I come to church. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How many times have you talked to people and they say, well, doctrine's not important. Where do you get that in the Bible? Where do you get that doctrine is not important in the Bible? You don't. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I had to go out to my car. I wanted to ask Brother Luke, I'm confident not just him, but others would have had this. Forgive me for not knowing. And they shall be turned unto fable. What is a fable? Well, a story. The bottom line is what the dictionary said as I looked it up. Turned under basically stories about animals. But you know, when I take away from the truth of this myth, anything that you turn your ears away from the truth of the preaching or the teaching of God's word to hear, I believe, is unpleasing to the Lord. God's word must be the central thing that we hear. You say, Scott, what are you preaching this morning? Hear and receive. A quick recap before we move through this message. Paul had a discouraging message for Timothy. Right off the bat, he told him in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that you need to address some negative things in the church. As you read through the books, he tells him of negative things concerning things in the church. And I want to be clear before I go any further. I like people. I like people of this world. And Brother Luke, I appreciate the lesson. And many times, I look at the people of this world and I can click with them with all due respect. There's some people that personally I probably can click with better than maybe I can click with some people here. Maybe that's on me. It's not that I don't like any. I'm just being reality. We all can find those people out in the world. Maybe it's at work or wherever the case may be that we just can kind of click with. But the point I'm trying to make is, along with that, we need to hear. And I totally lost my train of thought. You have to forgive me. Maybe it'll come back to me. But we need to hear and receive. Let me get into the message quickly. First of all, I would tell you this morning, is all of mankind needs to hear God's word. And you know, if you're still sitting there and you say, I don't understand the connection, Scott. Well, let me give you the connection. Paul charged Timothy, preach the word. I believe we as God's people, I believe every person that's ever lived upon the face of the earth also has a responsibility to what then? What's the purpose of preaching the word? The purpose is so that people may hear. What's the purpose of teaching the word? The teaching of the word is so people may hear. So we need to hear. All of mankind needs to hear God's word. Go with me to the book of James chapter 1. Paul was adamant to Timothy, preach the word. And so I just sit here and I think we need to hear. If Paul tells him through the inspiration of God to hear or to preach, certainly it's important for us to hear. James 1. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. How did God save a soul? Through his word. You have to hear. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Swift to hear. When you're in the house of God, and I challenge this to Kim and Lydia and myself, I'll be honest with you, I got to work last Monday morning, I could not remember Sunday morning's message. And I always go in and I say, we had a good Sunday school lesson, we had a good, and we always do. Well, I could remember Sunday, and I could not remember Sunday morning. I never could remember. But when we come to the house of God, be swift to hear. Keep reading down. Skip down to verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. If you're here and you're lost, hear and receive. You know, we sit here and we think about salvation. And I know what the Bible says about salvation. But there is a receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, the Lord has been dealing with your heart for a long time. And you maybe have so many thoughts running in your mind about salvation. Let me just tell you this. If you're truly hearing, you're at a good place. Now receive it. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things, and I can only go back to the time the Lord saved me, and it's still today at 51 years of age. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I care what God thinks. I'm glad the Lord saved me. It isn't always been an easy road. If I was still lost, it wouldn't have always been an easy road. But hear and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him. Receive the Lord. Notice Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. And I could take the time to read the rest of this chapter, but I don't have the time. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. And this, the rest of this is a negative. Because wisdom crieth without. This is God speaking to all of mankind. Turn, repent, hear. But read, if you have time to read through the negative, they would not hear. And there's going to come a day and a time when people today, they're too busy to come to the house of God to hear. But there's going to come a time when those that did not hear, those that did not receive, they're going to face the consequence. And the consequence is horrible. If you hear this morning and you're sitting in the house of God, hear and receive. I hate to make it more difficult than it is. Just receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Sometimes we get so caught up in the doctrines. And if you're here and you're lost, just focus on this. You need Jesus. Jesus came and gave His life. Receive Him. Receive that gift. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 8. I'm going to hold my finger right here, and I want to say this before I forget. I know where I was going a while ago, and I am who I am. Sometimes I really mess up. I like people in the world, and I click with people in this world. Let me rephrase that. There's some people I can relate to. Let's just leave it at that. But I try to practice what Brother Luke was taught this morning. On a business level, all the way across the board, I try to practice that. Let me just say this. Those that weren't in Sunday school, he dealt with being unequally yoked. And I'm going to try to say a little bit more about this in a minute. Strive to hang out, if you want to use that word. Strive to fellowship with people that's going to bring you up, not pull you down. So how does that work? Put yourself in a position that you're doing things with people that are more spiritual than you on the surface. You don't know what their heart is. But if you spend your time with people that you know their standards are down here, you're not going to get closer to the Lord. You're going to get farther away from the Lord. And I want to say this. I love the people of this church. They've embraced my family, my mom and my dad, and me and my family. And not this, just this church. I've been greatly blessed by God's people. And although Paul mentions the negatives that there are, and there are negatives, and we can all fall into being that person. You say, well, I'll never be that person. I'll always be just a good Christian. We don't know what tomorrow faces. We don't know. Our flesh is weak. Every single one of us here this morning, our flesh is weak. We don't need to think too highly of ourselves. Back to my thought. Go to verse 10 of Romans. Chapter 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. One of the first ways you, if you're here and you're lost, one of the first ways that you truly, truly, truly can know that you're saved, one of the first ways is that you will confess it. You will confess it. You will say, the Lord has saved me, or something to that effect. That is one of the very first evidences of salvation. And then you'll continue to confess that all the days of our life. But if you read down through here, and let me just skip a little bit here because I want to get on here. Notice verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you here this morning? And I know you've heard the gospel. And you fought it and you fought it and you fought it. Hear the gospel. Whether it's here when you get home, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to be in church. You really don't have to be in church. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Receive that. But it says, how, in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in of whom they have not heard? Hence, the message, hear and receive. Timothy, or Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Why? So people will hear. Even in negatives, preach the word. So the hearers can hear. People can be saved. Book of Revelation, chapter 22. And we're not going to go there, but it talks about the church. In verses 16 and 17, it says the church, one of the things that it says there is the church says, come. Do we do that throughout the week? Are we even concerned? Are we concerned about the lost of this world? You say, well, I'm concerned about this person, this person, and this person. But all the lost, are we concerned that God would use us? Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission, that involves hearing. They had to go and they had to tell. They had to preach and they had to teach. Well, what does that involve? Hearing. I asked the question to you this morning as well as to myself. What kind of a hearer are we? We had Sunday school this morning. And I don't know all the classes. I know a few. I know Brother Andy's been in the book of Acts for a long time. What kind of hearing have you got from that? What have you learned? I said something to Brother Luke a long time ago. I said, I wish you would just teach on the history of Israel. I said, you just go from the beginning. Well, you know, kind of, sort of. What have you got from that? What kind of hearer are we? To the saved. I'm already talking to the saved, but before I move on, I want to say it one more time. If you're here and you're lost, there may be lots and lots of things that come to your mind when you think about being saved. There may be some negative things. There may be some positive things that come to your mind. I really believe in my heart of hearts the Lord is working on people here. I just do. I believe that for a while. And I would simply tell you this. Receive the Lord as your Savior. Don't make it more difficult than it needs to be. Just receive the Lord as your Jesus Christ as your Savior. To the saved. Acts 17. What kind of hearer are you? Go to the book of Acts chapter 17. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We're not going to read the whole context I was going to read. Quickly, I'll give it to you, and we probably know this. Paul, they were being persecuted as they went from city to city. They would go into the synagogue, and they would go in, and they would strive to be a witness for the Lord, and they would be persecuted. Well, they went to this one place. How nice does that sound from a preacher? They went to this one place. Well, they did. In verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night away unto Berea. When you hear the word Berea, what do you think of? When you hear the word Berea, do you think of the people that you hang out with? Are they like the Bereans? When you're with your friends, even religious friends, even friends you may go to church with, how much of God's word do we discuss? Because I believe the Bereans did that. But it says, they sent him away by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. There's a good example of a Christian living. Christian living is more than going to church. Christian living is more, and following the Lord is more than just putting on a front. It's being in the Word of God every single day. I battle. I was doing really good. Me and this gentleman kind of hold ourselves accountable a little bit. I was doing really well. And then things in life, in the flesh, and just sin. just not being where I need to be. But we need, and I desire, to be like those at Berean's. When I come into the house of God, and the preacher said this one time I was listening to on the radio, and I thought it was so good. And what I took away from this is Sunday. Today is the first day of the week. Not only is it the Lord's Day, but it's the first day of the week. How many times do we pretend like this is the last day of the week? In other words, we come into the house of God, we're all wore out, we've overdone whatever we've been doing, have not come into the house of God prepared, we have not come in like the Bereans. And then think about the positive side of that. Look at it when we do come into the house of God and we are prepared. Are we like the Bereans? Always be ready and always be faithful to hear and earnestly hear God's word. When many and most people think things are boring, I'll be honest with you, that the book of Revelation that pastor's going through, it's been a struggle for me. My mind to comprehend some of that, it's hard. But I know by the grace of God, if I just strive to apply myself to get what I can get, maybe it'll make more sense at a later time. And some things make sense now. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's been many a messages on this passage. It's a great charge from Paul to Timothy and a great charge for anyone going to pastor. But I also see a great responsibility to be a good listener. And I guess two thoughts this morning. If you're here and you're lost, hear and receive. If you're here and you're saved, hear and receive. When we get saved, we don't get to 5 years out on the side of salvation and then say, well, I'm done. I've just turned it off. And I believe there's people like that. You can see their life. They plateaued early in their Christian life. And they've been there for years. And then a young Christian looks at them and comes up. And then they do the same thing. And then it's a vicious cycle. And now you have people that are plateau Christians. God hasn't called us to plateau. God has called us to keep going forward. To be more like Jesus every day. Are we more like Jesus this time this year than we were last year? All that preacher does is preach holiness and godliness. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. Are we holier now? I've got to the place in my life. Again, I'm going to say that. Oh, you just think you're holier now. No, I don't. But when you look at your life and you look at the decisions that you make, and I'm sure there's times I really blow it. But am I becoming more like God? Or am I becoming more like the world? They're opposite. We're either becoming more like the world or we're becoming more like God. Are we like the Bereans? Let's finish this. I got about 6 minutes, Lord willing. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. You know, if I was to write a commentary on this, and I could be wrong, I don't think so, but I would simply say, always be ready when it's popular, when it's not. Always be ready to state God's word. Don't apologize for it. And I may be way off base here, but I just feel that we're living in a time when many of God's people in His churches want to apologize for what God's word says. If that's where we're at, we're in a really bad place. We need to stand on what God's word says. But then he says to Timothy, reprove. If you raise kids, you know what this word means without going to commentary or dictionary. I probably might have done it, I don't know if I want to say too much, but it seems like I could never enjoy. And I still can't fully enjoy the relationship with my kids because it seems like I'm always reproving them. But it's because I want them to do right. And I want their life to be blessed. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hateful. And a pastor is the same way. A man of God, as God has given them a message, and their message reproves. A reproof, and you kids here, you know this. It's an admonition. Maybe you've gone out and you've done something really good, and you come and tell mom and dad about all the good that they should be proud of. And then there's just that one little thing. You know, I'm glad you did that, and that was all good. But you really shouldn't have. Well, you shouldn't be that way, Scott. That's my job. I'm a parent. Reprove. What about rebuke? Rebuke is a Bible thing. It's not a modern day 2023 so-called church thing, but it's still a Bible thing. The Bible says, rebuke them soundly, or rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. I believe that's found in 1 Timothy. And this is next one has been a word that's been up by my heart for a long time, exhort. It's not just the pastor's job to exhort. I mentioned a gentleman last time I preached that his life was such an exhortation to me. And that was Sandra Hall's father. Oh, he was just a blessing. When I think about him, just a blessing. I haven't talked to Sandra. I haven't talked to the Jarnets in years. I don't say that because of any. I think of a lady up in Frankfort, Michigan that would walk to church, although she didn't live very far, maybe a little farther than the parsonage. And I think she was in her 90s. Her life exhorted me. And I don't say this because he's related or she was related to many people here. We're brother and sister born. And their life exhorted me. I would go up there and preach, and I can remember at least once them just showing the Spirit of the Lord. Here we had two little rugrat kids. They were gone. Stop in, stay at our house. They weren't worried. But their whole life, and we went up there, their life was about serving the Lord. Their life was a great exhortation to me. My mom and dad, who I probably was one of their biggest critics at times, thought I just had it all together, and they didn't. But I look back on their life, and their life was an exhortation to me. There's been many here, and there are many here. There's been some of you that God has brought into this church. I don't know what your spiritual background is, but you've been faithful to the Lord. You've evidenced that God has placed you here. I think of brother, and I don't want to embarrass him, but now I'm going to close. You say you're getting a little sentimental. I'm just sharing with you what's on my heart. I remember being probably 19, 20. I didn't do a lot of stuff with dad growing up. He was busy with church stuff. And I remember calling down. Mom said, Dad's in the basement with Derek. Well, who's Derek? Well, Derek is a young man that has a temper. She didn't say that, but I know Derek. All these years later, here Derek is, raised 5 kids in church. That's an exhortation to me. Many, many, many. So if you think that Scott, holier than thou, that's not who I am. I strive not to be that way. Oh, God knows how to put me on my face. Yesterday, I could have been fine not preaching. Things and can come into your life, and you, why? But God knows why. And he's just, and he's right. And I just felt like the Lord said to Elijah, get up. And no, I'm not. He said, oh, Scott's getting depressed. No, I'm not. Lord's got me through that by his wonderful grace. But he has worked upon my heart. I'm going to close and turn the service over to Brother Derek in just a minute. If you're here and you're lost, hear, receive. If you're here and you're saved, I want you to look at those that one word 2 different times in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, and they're somewhere. It talks about the they. And ask yourself the question often, am I part of that they? Well, who is that they? That they is those that have a form of godliness. They are not like the Bereans. They have no desire to be like the Bereans. But yet they don't want to quit coming to church altogether either. Brother Derek.